In a Song, a hockey RPF fanfiction written by Cheese with Mai and read by Lenchi. Everyone Sid knows is singing to him.
You know you make me wanna shout, kick my heels up and down, throw my hands up and down, throw my head back and down. Come on now, don't forget to say you will. Don't forget to say yeah.
Say you will.
Say it right now, baby.
Say you will.
Come on.
Say you will.
Say it now,
yeah.
Come on now.
Say
that.
When it happens, Sid doesn't think anything of Gino collapsing down onto the bench next to him and leaning sideways into him. It's after the media scrum. It was a rough game, the last in a series of rough games. And with so many guys out, it sort of feels like they're the only two left, a team of just themselves. Sid knows that's not the case, knows he's being overdramatic, would never say any of it out loud. But he understands the way Gino pushes against him, the need in the touch. So he pushes back, and they sit quietly together. If Sid tilted his head, he could rest it on Gino's shoulder. But he doesn't do that, because that would be beyond the scope of what this is. He doesn't even think anything of Gino tipping his head back against the wall after a moment, and sighing, softly.
When your legs don't work like they used to before, and I...
Before startling and snapping his mouth shut so hard, Sid hears the click of his teeth together. Maybe Sid should have asked about it, but Horny is limping by and Sid needs to check on him, and it just gets shuffled to the side, a random comment that Sid has forgotten about by the time he trudges out to the bus. They have an early flight in the morning, and he doesn't get a chance to talk to Gino before they're all scattering for home. But that isn't unusual, really. It's not a big deal. It just means that it's over 3 months before Sid looks back on that night and realizes that Gino was patient zero. Flower is the first victim that they know about then, because when Sid walks into their next practice, Flower croons out, "Good morning, starshine. The earth says hello." And then tries to make at least 5 faces at the same time. Sid stares at him. Everyone else stares at him too. Tanga says, helpfully, since no one else seems to be able to find their words, "What?
I don't know,"
Flower says slowly. Sid shakes his head. It isn't the weirdest thing Flower has ever done. Sid pats Flower's shoulder on his way into the room, and Flower sings up at him, his eyes growing wider with each word.
"It's good to see you. So good to see you."
Sid says, carefully removing his hand. And Polio, from the back of the room, excitedly cuts in. "Is he singing to you? Oh, man!" He looks unreasonably happy about it, all things considered. This happened to a roomie of mine. It happened to a guy he knew back in the Winterhawks. Flower leans around Sid and demands, "What?" According to Polio, or Polio's friend, or the friend of Polio's friend who this happened to, or whatever, you can be cursed to be able to only speak in song lyrics. This seems unlikely to Sid, but there's no arguing with the fact that Flower can't talk to him without singing. And anyway, it isn't any more difficult to believe possible than the Christmas break everyone was 12 except for Sid, which Sid lived through, barely. "Sometimes hockey is weird," is what he's saying. Of course, Polio's information isn't entirely correct right off the bat. He claims that his roommate's friend had to sing to everyone, but Flower seems perfectly capable of speaking normally to everyone but Sid. They make him talk to everyone just to be sure. Polio also doesn't know how to fix it. He says, with an awkward, apologetic look at Flower, "I don't know. I think the guy had to admit some big secret he had, and then he was normal again." Everyone stares at Flower, who crosses his arms and sings at Sid, "I don't care if the world knows what my secrets are." "Okay," Sid reassures him, and then they're being fetched out onto the ice. Sid sighs, shaking his head, and pats Gino's shoulder because Gino looks pissed off by the entire situation. His jaw is locked up tight and his mouth is pressed thin. "It's always something, huh?" Sid asks, and Gino nods, grunting. Sid has to explain it to Johnston because he and Flower are required to talk to each other, and it's going to be pretty obvious that Flower is singing to him. They might as well nip it in the bud. Johnston just sighs and asks, hopefully, "But there are no backup instrumentals, right?" Sid stares at him. He looks serious. So Sid shakes his head. "No, not so far." Johnston smiles grimly. "Good. Let's hope it stays that way." He raises his eyebrows. "Anything else I should know about?" "Not as weird as the Christmas break everyone was 12 except for me," Sid reminds himself, and goes to skate. The next day at morning skate, Tanya bumps into Sid and sings, "You say goodbye, and I say hello," and then makes a sound like he's just swallowed his tongue. Sid sighs. "Fuck. Fuck," Tanya agrees, in a sing-song. By the game that night, six guys can only talk to him by singing. It's like they've been infected with a severely contagious karaoke virus. Later, he ends up in the middle of the celebration for their power play goal, with Dupre singing, "We can light it up, up, up," against the back of his helmet. It is, Sid considers, and maybe it's just the raw joy of scoring making him think so, better than what they could have been infected with. That doesn't stop him from pulling polio aside later and asking, "How long did it take your roommate's friend to get over this?" Polio looks nervous suddenly. "I don't know, like 2 days? 3 tops. Sid heaves a sigh and firms up his jaw. He can take 3 days of this. Except 3 days later, more than half the team has it, and Flower, the first case, hasn't improved at all. Sid is getting sung at from all directions. Every time he turns around, someone is warbling at him in an off-key way, and that's not even the worst news. No, the worst news is that it seems the virus or curse or whatever isn't just making them sing. That would be too easy. So instead of that, it's making them sing what they're thinking. Or feeling. Or something. At least in relation to Sid. He thinks so anyway. It's hard to be 100% sure about it because he can't get an answer from the affected. He doesn't even really want to ask them. This is weird enough already. But yeah, they've got to be singing their feelings. It's really the only way to explain the weird off-topic shit they sing at him, and how embarrassed they look afterwards. It's not so bad when they're just glad to see him in the morning, or happy that they scored, or even sad about the loss they take on Wednesday. "Don't cry for me, Argentina," Flower warbles at him on his way down the tunnel. It's less good when Bo nods at him in practice, where he's taking it easy, before pitchily singing, "When you're ready, come and get it, na 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 na." It's even worse when Bo then looks like he's going to be sick, blanching, and skating off, leaving Sid to stare after him. He makes a point of cornering the poor kid later, and making sure he knows that it's okay, really, it's fine. Sid isn't going to tell anyone else or be an ass about it. Bo is a good kid, and Sid doesn't want him to feel uncomfortable in the locker room, the way Sid is sure he would feel if he had been outed that way. So, the uninvited musical openness is rough enough. But then, Johnston is giving a pre-game interview that Sid is half listening to while he tapes his sticks, and someone asks what he's looking for from Sid's line. Really, what do they think? Except he doesn't give them the standard answer. No, he clears his throat and sings, surprisingly on key, "I'm holding out for a hero till the end of the night." Sid rolls his head slowly to the side so that he can stare, dumbfounded, at Gino.
Is this really happening? Sid asks, trying not to listen to what's going on in the background. Apparently, people can't even talk about him now.
And he's gotta be strong, and he's gotta be fast.
Gino shrugs and sings something back low and warm in Russian because, and this might be the worst part of what's happened, Sid hasn't heard a single word of English from Gino since this started. At least with the others, Sid can figure out what they're trying to say, what they mean. With Gino, he has even less language than when they first met. They can't even talk hockey now. Sid doesn't understand why. Everyone else does fine singing in English, but Gino can't explain it to him right now.
And he's gotta be sure, and he's gotta be soon.
By the end of the week, everyone on the team is infected. Sid retreats to the Lemieux household for Sunday dinner with relief, desperate to talk to someone that can talk back. It's unfortunate, then, that the first thing Natalie does when she opens the door is take a look at him, sigh, and sing while shaking her head.
Don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better.
Her mouth twists up into a moo afterwards. Sid hangs his head and sighs. Sid gets used to it. He doesn't have a choice, really. It's not like he can stop Downey from taking offense when Sid gets hooked twice and put into the boards with a late hit. No more than Sid can stop him from singing while perched on the boards with a murderous look in his eyes.
All the other kids with the pumped up kicks, you better run, outrun my gun.
Sid does manage to stop himself from breaking his stick over the boards.
Let the bodies hit the floor, Downey advises him.
It gets Potash next, during an intermission interview at the following game. Sid is running his hand back through his hair, happy for the assist and goal he got in the period, less happy that it looks like they might have lost another guy to injury. He isn't prepared for Potash to smile awkwardly and sing,
Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier.
Sid limits his reaction to closing his eyes for a second, and then he forces a smile and gives the answer he would have given if Potash could actually ask what he wanted. At this point, Sid thinks they have these conversations pretty well memorized. Potash pats his arm when he's done.
Ooh, child, things will get brighter.
Sid expects there to be some response from the media, like questioning why everyone is seeing at him, maybe. It seems like that should raise some eyebrows. But hockey reporters are long inured to weirdness. They have to be. So it's mostly just accepted as one of those things that happen. The story seems to be that it's some kind of prank or joke. Sid can live with that. And then it starts spreading to other teams. Sid hears,
One way or another, I'm gonna find ya, I'm gonna getcha,
from more people than he can count, usually right before he strips them of the puck and takes off. The first couple of teams look surprised, but word must spread after that, because by a month in, no one seems like it's unexpected. Everyone takes it differently. There's a whole spectrum of reactions. Ovechkin exuberantly serenades Sid with frankly ridiculous lyrics anytime they're on the ice together, and when they're not, across the benches.
Been around the world, don't speak the language,
he's bellowing now, leaning over his backup goalie to be heard better. Sid wonders if he could manage to knock Ovechkin's mouth bloody without taking a major. Probably not.
But your booty don't need explaining.
Thank Christ, Sid grinds out when he's allowed back onto the ice. It won't be much of a relief, but at least when he's skating he can think about something else. Anything else. Gino shoves Ovechkin into the boards roughly 60 seconds later, which at least shuts him up for as long as it takes him to get his breath back. Gino spits something angry and sharp and lyrical enough that he must be talking about Sid, while caps swarm around them. Ovechkin laughs at him. He sounds fucking delighted.
It's a long game. Still less miserable than when they play against the Flyers, though.
I hate everything about you,
Giroux yells at him, and continues in that vein for the next 3 hours. Sid has such a headache by the time he gets off the ice. Fucking Philly. Most of the teams fall into some middle ground between these two. There are lots of mildly threatening songs, guys getting wound up in the game. There also seems to be, on all but a handful of teams, one guy who looks like he's trying to bite through his mouthguard. They usually break before the end of the game, treating Sid to some variation of oversharing from
"Baby got back"
to
"Your body is a wonderland"
to
"This ain't love, it's clear to see, but darling"
to
"I'll take you to the candy shop, I'll let you lick the lollipop."
When they play the Blue Jackets, Jack grimaces his way through.
"I should be over all the butterflies, but I'm into you."
Sid decides it's kindest to just ignore them. It's not like they can help it, and Sid wouldn't know otherwise, so it feels unfair to mention anything. He had no idea he was killing it with hockey players that wanted to fuck guys, but apparently he attracts a very specific type. Just not the one guy in that type that he'd been hoping he did, because he still hasn't heard anything from Gino that indicates any interest. "I miss you," he tells Gino at the end of that first month, when he is honestly beginning to worry that maybe this is just how he's going to have to live the rest of his life, trapped in musical hell. They're sitting at a bar that he hadn't wanted to go to, but Sutsi's incredulous, "Slam, slam, oh hot damn, what part of party don't you understand?" had distracted him with laughter long enough for his team to drag him along. He supposes they're due a celebration. They've been working hard and it's paying off. He can't blame them for wanting to cut loose a little. He just doesn't particularly feel like celebrating. He half laughs. He's had too much to drink. "I mean, I miss everyone, but..." He shrugs. Gina was staring at him, frozen where he'd been picking at the label of his beer. His jaw is grinding back and forth. He doesn't sing anything. Sid sighs. He'd even take the Russian at this point. He opens his mouth to say so, but is waylaid by Flower, drunk as much off another shutout as the alcohol. Flower is sprawled half over Sid's chest, his head heavy on Sid's shoulder. He's patting at Sid's cheek, slurring, low and mournful.
"Honestly, I wanna see you be brave with what you wanna say and let the words fall out."
Sid pats at the top of his head and says, "Shh." Sid finds out secondhand that it's taking out the announcers too. Taylor emails him a clip of the second intermission of their game against the Habs, which they'd gone into down 2 and with no goals to their name. It's accompanied by a message that just says,
"Check, check, check to check it out. What's it all about?"
He knew the singing curse affected writing as well. He's received several hundred text messages that prove that, but it's still jarring. It seems unfair that it's screwing with his family too. But then none of it is particularly fair, so he just sighs and plays the clip. It opens on Jay in front of his screen, an off-screen voice asking, "So, can the Penguins come back from this?" "Well," Jay is saying, frowning, "I think you have to look at Sidney Crosby and, you know..." He clears his throat.
"Oh no," Sid thinks. "Don't stop believing,"
Jay sings, all earnest and surprisingly good, not looking particularly embarrassed at all.
"Hold on to that feeling."
There are 3 more minutes of this video. Sid doesn't watch them. He's afraid that Jay might have gone through the entire song. He looked really into it. By the end of 2 months, it seems that the entire NHL had been infected, along with all the announcers and the reporters. Sid has gotten used to it, horribly. He
He gets sang at on the ice, and in the media scrum, at practices, and at the Lemieux's house on the weekends. Right now, he's nodding along to whatever Gina was singing to him in the locker room. He doesn't know the words, but they're warm and fond, and Sid has gotten very used to following conversations based solely on tone. They're getting irritated looks from around the room, but Sid is used to that too. The team, everyone really, but especially the team, has been getting increasingly frustrated along with Sid. No one likes to be forced to sing all the time. Gino comes to a stop so naturally that Sid thinks he must have sang all the way through a song. No one else does that. It's another little weird thing. Sid looks up to smile at him, and Gino is staring at him, his head cocked to the side and his eyes soft. Sid's smile wavers, and Cooney sits down hard across from them, snapping, "Tell him about it! Tell him all your crazy dreams! Let him know you need him! Let him know how much he means!" With a vehemence that makes Sid blink at him. He has no idea what Cooney is talking about, so he can only stare. Gino, though, snaps something angry and only distantly musical and shoves to his feet, storming out of the room. By the end of the third month, it's spreading outside of players and announcers, outside of the hockey world in general. Sid is at a bar, and a guy slides onto the stool beside him and croons, "I just wanna use your love tonight." He looks so horrified afterwards that all Sid can do is sigh, get up, and leave, even though he wants to scream. He isn't sure he can spend his entire life like this. He might have had to, is the thing. Except that one practice, Hammer shows up with his headphones hanging around his neck, playing loudly enough that Sid can hear a faint voice singing, Sid cocks his head to the side, something itching at the back of his memory. He's heard that before, hasn't he? And not just on the radio. He puts a hand out to stop Hammer without thinking about it, frowning softly. What is that? That song? Across the room, Gino jerks his head up, wide-eyed and twitchy. Sid blinks and then gestures at the headphones. Can I borrow those? Can you restart it? Hammer blinks at him, but then shrugs and hands over the headphones without protest. That's one of the things Sid likes about him. He's so easy to get along with, just rolling with whatever strange punches have been thrown their way since he was traded. As long as you're willing to talk about his cat. Gino shoots to his feet when Sid slips the headphones on, and Hammer pulls out his iPod. Gino's fists are clenched, and he looks like he's going to be sick when the music starts. Oh, Sid thinks, listening and staring at Gino. Oh. He takes the headphones off carefully and says, "Thanks." Because he hasn't made a big deal about any of the emotional shit that has been involuntarily shared with him since this started, and he isn't going to make Gino the exception to that, especially not in front of all their teammates. "You've got a friend in me," Hammer sings, while Gino curls his shoulders over and slumps. Gino flees after practice. Sid makes sure to give him the space for his escape. Sid could use a bit of time himself to process this. Gino sang him a love song. 3 months ago, before Sid knew that this was happening, Gino sat down close beside him and sang him a song about the kind of love where you want to grow old together. Sid has been the recipient of a lot of love songs, for a given definition of love. Mostly the carnal kind, honestly. But Gino, that wasn't at all what the truth-inducing music virus had made him sing. Sid has to wonder if that's what Gino has been singing to him all this time in Russian. If that's why he sometimes looks like he's going to snap his jaw in order to keep himself silent. Sid thinks that he, apparently, kills it with hockey players that want to fuck guys. Especially the one he'd been hoping he did. So, it feels like this should be simple. But it's awkward, too. Gino obviously didn't want Sid to find out, at least not the way that he did. He had no choice in his admission. That's got to feel pretty shitty. Sid wouldn't want to be in his shoes. He's got to do something to make this fair. Somehow, he needs to do... Oh, he thinks. The solution is pretty obvious. It would be easier if Sid were infected with the music curse, or whatever. No one else ever seems to forget or stumble over lyrics. But Sid isn't, and he does. He's never been very good at memorizing songs, but he makes a concerted effort. He can memorize one song if he sets his mind to it. Gino takes a long time to answer his door. Sid knows he's in there, and he has a spare key, but he doesn't want to overstep his boundaries. Well, he does want to, but he was raised better than that. So he stands on Gino's front porch and runs the lyrics through his head until Gino finally pulls the door open, looking a bit hunted around the eyes. A muscle in Gino's jaw is jumping, and his lips are pressed together nearly as hard as he's holding onto the door. Sid takes a deep breath and wishes his voice were better. He starts. When your legs don't work like they used to before, and I can't sweep you off of your feet, will your mouth still remember the taste of my love? Will your eyes still smile from your cheeks? Gino's mouth falls open. Sort of hilariously, actually. His eyes are almost as wide as his mouth. Sid licks his suddenly bone-dry lips, and his voice cracks, unfortunately. And darling, I will be loving you till we're 70. And baby, my heart could still fall as hard at 23. Gina was just staring at him. Oh shit. Oh god. He shoves his hands hard into his pockets and plows onward. This is just like splitting the D, he thinks. If the D were humiliation and terror. He manages, losing what little he had of the rhythm of the song completely. And I'm thinking about how people fall in love in mysterious ways. Maybe just the touch of a hand. Well, me, I fall in love with you every single day. Gino makes a wild sound and surges forward. And Sid is so happy that Gino is kissing him. Not just because it means that he can't sing anymore. Your smile's forever in my heart and memory. Gino pants against his mouth. Oh god, Sid had thought this would somehow end it. And then Gino makes a wondering, surprised sound and groans. Sid! It has been almost 3 months since Sid heard his name. There aren't many songs that include it. He laughs, wild with relief, and kisses Gino again. Quick, gleeful kisses. Sid! Gino is laughing with him, shaking him hard. Sid! You fix it! You fixed it, Sid tells him. You did. Or maybe they fixed it together. Maybe it was a curse, and it needed a kiss to break. Sid doesn't know, doesn't really care. I missed you, he says again, and pulls Gino down.
When your legs don't work like they used to before.
The end.
And I can't sweep you off of your feet. Will your mouth still remember the taste of my love? Will your eyes still smile from your cheek? Darling, I will be loving you. Baby, my heart could still fall as hard at 23. And I'm thinking about how people fall in love in the
You've just finished listening to In a Song. If you enjoyed the story, please leave Cheese with Mai some feedback at Archive of Our Own or on Tumblr. And if you enjoyed my reading of the story, please leave me some feedback on Archive of Our Own, Tumblr or Twitter. The music used in this recording were the Isley Brothers' Shout and Ed Sheeran's Thinking Out Loud. The songs referenced in this recording were, in order of appearance, Thinking Out Loud by Ed Sheeran, Good Morning Starshine from the musical Oliver, It's Good to See You by Don Williams, I Don't Care If the World Knows What My Secrets Are, Secrets by Mary Lambert, You Say Goodbye and I Say Hello, Hello Goodbye by The Beatles, We Can Light It Up, 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 Burn by Ellie Goulding, Don't Cry For Me, Argentina, from the musical Evita, When You're Ready, Come and Get It, Na 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 Na, Come and Get It by Selena Gomez, I'm Holding Out For a Hero Till the End of the Night, Holding Out For a Hero by Ella Mae Bowen, Take a Sad Song and Make It Better, Hey Jude by The Beatles, All the Other Kids With the Pumped Up Kicks, You Better Run, Better Run, Pumped Up Kicks by Foster the People, Let the Bodies Hit the Floor, Bodies by Drowning Pool, Ooh, Child, Things Are Gonna Get Easier, Ooh, Child by The Five Stair Steps, One Way or Another, I'm Gonna Find Ya, I'm Gonna Get Ya, Get Ya, Get Ya, One Way or Another by Blondie, Been Around the World, Don't Speak the Language, But Your Booty Don't Need Explaining, Talk Dirty by Jason Derulo, I Hate Everything About You by 3 Days Grace, Baby Got Back by Sir Mix-a-Lot, Your Body Is a Wonderland by John Mayer, This Ain't Love, It's Clear to See, But Darling, Stay With Me by Sam Smith, I'll Take You to the Candy Shop, Candy Shop by 50 Cent, I should be over all the butterflies, but I'm into you. Still Into You by Paramore. Slam, slam, oh hot damn, what part of party don't you understand? Raise Your Glass by Pink. Honestly, I wanna see you be brave with what you wanna say. Brave by Sarah Bareilles. Check, check, check to check it out by the Beastie Boys. Don't Stop Believing by Journey. Tell Him About It, Tell Him All Your Crazy Dreams. Tell Her About It by Billy Joel. I Just Wanna Use Your Love Tonight. Your Love by The Outfield. You've Got a Friend in Me by Randy Newman. And finally, some reader free talk. Hi, this is Lunchy. Did you enjoy my half-sing-song list of songs? I was having a really bad day, and then I read this fic, and it was so funny and so cracky that it just made me feel a lot better. So because it made me laugh a lot, I wanted to podfic it, and I thought it was going to be very interesting because I'm probably, as you can tell, I'm not a really good singer, but I thought it would be really interesting to record it as a podfic and try to do all the singing parts. I actually found myself trying to sing it as the song, like the way that you hear it in the actual song. And then I realized that because the characters had intentionality behind what the song they were singing and what they wanted to convey. So I tried to put a lot more tone, different kinds of tones into what they were singing. Like
My favorite probably was doing Flowers, Don't Cry for Me, Argentina, and like a little bit of a sob at the end because they had just lost. I just, like straight after that line, you can kind of hear my laughter in the next line. Don't cry for me, Argentina, or something like that. But that was, yeah, that was really, really silly. So I really liked it. So despite the fact that I'm not a good singer, I thought, what the heck? It's going to be a lot of fun. And so I hope you don't hold my singing skills against me as you listen to this. And I mean, if you did, you probably turned it off before this point. I did think about putting, the various songs into all of the story breaks, of which there are quite a few in this, but and because there were a lot and the songs, there weren't songs in every bit of the story, I thought it was just going to be like, one, it was going to be a lot of work, and two, it was just going to be uneven for the parts that were just narrative and didn't have any songs associated with those bits. I'm really glad that in the narrative, most of the characters are said to not be very good at singing, which is, whew, thank God. And like on a technical side of things, singing into the microphone with the settings that I have now is actually, it spikes the mic a lot. So if the singing parts are a little bit louder than the narrative parts, that's the reason. There was just a lot more power behind it or volume behind it. So it just spiked a lot, and I tried to scale it back and move away from the microphone. So I think there are a few bits in a few of the songs where there's a bit of an echo that was me leaning away from the microphone so it wasn't too wouldn't hurt your ears, basically. I really liked, even though it was a crack fic, I liked the fact that there was a bit more kind of background world building that was happening. For example, the the ever-important rookie who knew somebody who went through the same thing, the mention of the time when everybody was 12 that Sid barely survived, and that Mike Johnston had an experience where this happened and there was also instrumental backup music as well, which just sounds ridiculous, which is just so great. So ridiculous and just so happy making. I also very much enjoyed the visual of Gino just trying to keep it in. And that's juxtaposed with like Gino having, I guess, superior self-restraint than any of the other hockey players that Sid like played against, because they all like broke down and started seeing about his ass and Gino just like kept his mouth shut or like around him, or started singing in Russian, which I guess is not a bad tactic, but I kind of smile a little bit because I think like, I wonder if he's like singing really terrible Russian techno music at him. And of course, as always, Ovi was a delight. And you know, just generally, I hope that you got a smile or a laugh out of listening to this and had a good time with the story, because I know I did. So that's it from me. Thank you for sitting through my not great singing, and I hope you have a good day. See ya!